This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
How many of you today realize that you need to make some changes in your life in the new year? Let me just see. How many of you know you need to make some changes in your life in the new year? Now you notice I got both hands up. Amen? Now let me ask you this. How many of you really, truly, and sincerely want to see those changes happen in your life? You want a change. All right, praise God. That's great. Well, I am here today to tell you how you can almost guarantee that the changes you desire to have happen in your life in the new year will not occur. You know how you can be almost sure that the changes that need to happen in your life won't happen? Make a New Year's resolution. How many of you have made, at the beginning of the year, last year, how many of you made New Year's resolutions? Let me just see. All right. Amen. How many of you kept all the resolutions you made? I'm looking for hands. Now, if I really wanted to be bad, I could say, how many of you kept any of the resolutions you made? How many of you know resolutions don't work? New Year's resolutions don't work. New Year's resolutions are things that we have been brought up to do in our society, but it simply doesn't work. And let me tell you why it doesn't work. Because there is no power in a New Year's resolution. The power of God is not in it. It is all man-made. If you make a New Year's resolution, you can do it for a while, but it won't stick. Let me give you an example here. You come into the new year and you're carrying some baggage. You've been carrying this baggage around with you for a long time. And you come to the end of the year and you decide, I'm going to change. I make a New Year's resolution. I'm putting this baggage down. I'm not going to carry it anymore. Whatever your issue is, I'm not going to do that. I make a resolution this year. I'm going to be different. And so you make that resolution and you put your baggage down. Whatever that load is you've been carrying, you put it down and you start stepping through the year. You go 1 week, you go 2 weeks, you go 3 weeks and 4 weeks and maybe a month, maybe two. And it felt so good not having that baggage until suddenly, what happened? You realize it's still there. You had freedom for a little while because your willpower was up. And as long as your willpower was strong, you could just strut right along until suddenly you reached the end of your rope. And you recognize you never got free of that thing at all. It was still tied to you. That's what New Year's resolutions are like. Because they are the world's substitute for the power of God in your life. If you want to see some real changes happen in your life in the new year, you don't need to make a New Year's resolution. That's the world's plan. You need God's plan. Amen? Let me show you what God's plan is. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 12 and 13. Let's talk about what God's plan for making a change in your life is. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. My beloved, as you have always obeyed, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. This is God's plan for changing your life. Let's break it down. The first thing He says you need to do is you need to commit yourself to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Catch what it's saying. It is not saying work for your salvation. Does everybody in the room know that you cannot work to earn salvation? Amen? There is nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no work, there is nothing good that you can do that will make God like you any better. Amen? But guess what? He already likes you, praise God. That's why He sent Jesus. And so it's not saying work for your salvation. It's not saying do something to make yourself acceptable to God. No, what it's saying is this. Once you have been saved, then there ought to be some results from your salvation. Because you are saved, your life ought to be different than it was before. And so when He says, work out your own salvation, what He's really doing is saying, let your salvation have the results that it should have. Well, what are those results? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. Here's what your salvation ought to result in. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. You want to talk about what the result of your salvation should be? What does it say? That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but unto Him who died for them and rose again. What does this say? You need to settle it once and for all that you are not living for yourself anymore. You're living for Jesus. You're living for Jesus. Before I married Priscilla, I was a free man. I mean, I could go where I wanted to go, when I wanted to go, with whom I wanted to go, do whatever I wanted to do, come home whatever time I wanted to come home, because I was free. I had the right to live my own life my way. Then I got married. How many of you know I'm not free anymore? Amen. Married people, let me see how many married people we got. How many of you know I'm not free anymore? Amen, brother. I can't go where I want to go anytime I want to go anymore. And let me tell you what the hard part of it is, the part that really hurts. I can't spend my money the way I want to spend it anymore. I ought to hear some amens from some ladies on that one. Amen. Here's my cell phone. I keep this with me all the time. And you know one reason for that? Wherever I am, my wife knows where I am, 24/7. Wherever I go, you know, if she doesn't know where I am, I'll call her. The only time I don't call is when I think she's asleep, you know, not to wake her up. But that's part of being married, amen? Being married has changed the way I drive. I shared this with you before. Let me just be modest about it. I am an excellent driver. I think so. I am a skilled driver. And what that means is I can get out on the road and I can see other cars coming at me and I can judge exactly how much space I have to make it in between or to whip around a corner. I know exactly how much space I've got. And so when I turn that corner or I whip in and out among those cars, I know what I'm doing. And so when we got married, I'd be driving along and I'd be whipping in among cars or I'd be turning a corner and just cutting that corner real close. But I knew exactly what I was doing. I was having fun. Priscilla's sitting over there in the right-hand seat going, you're going to kill me. And what I had to realize was I can't drive the way I used to drive. Now, I knew what I was doing. Amen? Never had a rolling accident. Except once when I first started driving and I ran into a police car. That was not a good experience. Amen. But I had to realize I can't make decisions about how I drive without taking my wife into account. Not only how I drive, what I drive. I drive a stick shift Honda Accord. Now, I bought that before Priscilla and I got married. Does anybody here realize that the next car I buy will not be a stick shift? Why? Because I can no longer make decisions just for myself. Every decision that I make, I have to take my wife into account from now on. And that's what it means to live for Christ and not for yourself. From the moment you become a Christian, you can no longer make decisions just for yourself on what you want, what you feel, what you think is best. From that moment on, you have to defer your decisions to your Lord and your Savior, to your Master, Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, there was a song I used to like. Frank Sinatra sang it. In this song, a man is going back over his life. I guess he's come to the end of his life and everything that happened in his life. And at the end of every verse, he'd kind of pat himself on the back and he'd say, "But I did it my way." Any of y'all remember that song? Yeah. "I did it my way." Do I sound like Frank? No. So you pass on that one, huh? But you know what I had to realize about that song? That is a stupid song for a Christian to sing. A Christian who goes through life talking about "I did it my way" is a messed up Christian. Why? You can't do it your way. You have already given your life to Jesus Christ and you now have to live for him and not for yourself. Catch this. A married man who is still trying to live his life just for himself is a phony husband. Hope I didn't step on any toes. And in the same way, a believer who is still trying to live his life for himself is a phony Christian. The first thing you need to do to see change in your life in the new year is to settle it in your heart once and for all that you're going to live your life for Jesus Christ and not for yourself. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. This is the attitude that we as believers need to have. If God's going to be able to do in our lives what he wants to do, we got to give him permission. Because he won't take it from us. He won't change us unless we give him the permission to do it. And here's the attitude we need to have. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For me to live is Christ. The definition of life for me is Jesus Christ. That is what life is all about. And I want you to catch something. Look at the second part of that verse, "and to die is gain." To die is profit. To die is good. You can't say the second part of that verse unless you can say the first part of that verse. Amen? I mean, when you come to for the time for you to leave this earth, what can you say that's good about that? Unless you can say, "For me to live is Christ, and now I'll be with him for all eternity." You can't say that. All you can say is, "To die is loss, because I don't know what's going to happen to me, and I have no assurance that it's going to be anything good." Go over to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let me show you what the Christian life is really all about. "To me to live is Christ. I am living for him and not for myself." In fact, what Christ wants to do is to live his life through me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You know what that means? In every circumstance, in every decision I have to make in life, here's the question I need to ask. Lord, what do you want to do through me in this situation? When I go to work tomorrow, Lord, what do you want to do in my workplace through me? When I go to school, Lord, what do you want to do in this school situation through me? When I meet my friends, Lord, what do you want to do in my friend's life through me? How do you want me to act in order that you may fulfill your purpose through my life? See, I'm not living for myself anymore. For me to live is Christ. If you want to see change in your life this coming year, that is step number one. You need to get before God and say, Lord, from this moment forward, I'm living for Jesus and not for myself. Here's step number two. Go back to Philippians chapter 2 and let's look at verses 12 and 13 again. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You need to let God work out his good pleasure in your life. Understand this. The reason you need to change in 2003 is not to make your life better, but it is to work out God's good pleasure in your life. That has to be your motivation. When you have a motivation of making your life better, when you get to the point where it gets hard, you say, well, I have the option. Do I want to continue doing this that's so hard to try to make my life better? Or do I just want to give it on up? Let me just ask. Any of you ever tried to stop smoking and failed? Let me just see. Amen. Amen. When you started to try to stop smoking, were you determined? Oh, yeah, I'm going to stop this thing. Amen. Any of you go this route? This is my last cigarette. And you take everything that's left in that pack and you throw it in the toilet and flush it away. Have you ever done that? How much money did you spend buying new cigarettes for the ones you flushed away? Amen. Why? See, your motivation was, I want to make my life better. I heard the story of a man in the hospital dying of throat cancer. And they had made an incision in his throat so that he could breathe. Somebody walked into the man's room and found him puffing on a cigarette through the hole in his throat. You see, that motivation that I'm trying to make my life better is an insufficient motivation. No, the only motivation that will carry you over the hump, even when things are getting hard, is I'm not doing it for myself. Now understand, it'll work out for your good, amen? But I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things that I would not bother with for myself, but I'll do it for my Lord. Just because Jesus wants me to do it. Amen? Can I give you a case in point? I am not a snow removal person. I don't like snow shovels. I enjoyed that snow blower only because it does a lot of the work. Amen. You get out there and it's cold and it's wet. I got out there and started, turned that thing on. And it's the first time I used a snowblower. Turned it on and the wind was blowing. I'm getting all of this stuff coming back in my face. Suddenly I'm tasting salt. you know, from the salt we'd put down there. I didn't enjoy that. And let me tell you something. If it had been up to me, you'd have had to put your galoshes on and walk through the snow to get here today. Amen? But guess what? I did it for Jesus. Praise God. I did it for Jesus. So the motivation of doing it for the Lord will carry you through some stuff that you won't even do for yourself. And so what the first thing that we need to do is say, I'm going to let God work for his good pleasure in my life. I saw the story of a man who broke his arm or his leg, I don't remember exactly. He went to the hospital, they did x-rays. You know how upset you can get when you slip and you break something? And so he's complaining and everything about having to go to the hospital. But when they took the x-rays, they found out that there was a cancer in his body, and they caught it early enough that they were able to treat it. Now catch it. He went to the hospital for a broken arm. He came out being treated for something much more serious that he didn't even know about. Do you understand that as a Christian, you don't even know how you need to change? You don't even know what's wrong with you. You think it's one thing, and God looks at you and says, it's something else. You may think it's your smoking or your drinking or your cursing that needs to change in 2003. And let me tell you something. If you smoke or drink or curse, it does need to change in 2003. But when God looks at you, he may say, okay, smoking, drinking, cursing, whatever it is, that's an issue, need to deal with that. But number one, I need to deal with that negative, manipulative attitude that you have, that you may not even realize you have, but everybody around you knows. And so God wants to deal with something that you don't even realize is a problem in your life. Now, where is all this leading? Go over to John chapter 16. Look at verses 7 and 8. Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8. We need to let God work out his good pleasure in our life. That means we need to leave to him the decision of how we need to change. John chapter 16, starting with verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the world today, a big part of that ministry is convicting people of what needs to change in their lives. You want to know what really needs to change in your life? You need the Holy Spirit to tell you how to change. You need the Holy Spirit to convict you of what it is that God wants to deal with in your life. Just like the man who went to the hospital with a broken arm when inside of him there was growing a cancer, as Christians, so many times, the way we think we need to change is only superficial on the surface. God wants to get down deep into the real areas of our character, of who we are. He wants to deal with that thing inside of us that still wants to have its own way and do its own thing instead of following Jesus. And so if we really want to change the way God wants us to change in 2003, we need to get before God and say, Lord, you show me. You show me the changes that need to take place. Oh, yes, Lord, I want to take care of those things on the surface, the smoking, the drinking, the cursing, whatever it is. Oh, yes, Lord, I do that. But, Lord, you get down to the real issue in my life. You deal with me in whatever way I need to be dealt with to become the man or woman I need to be. Go over to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Here's the prayer that we need to be praying on a daily basis. Psalm 139, starting with verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you really want to change, you need to take some time and get before God and ask God to show you yourself. Now understand, this is not a superficial type of exercise. You need to set aside some time and say, Lord, for the next week, I'm going to get before you every day down on my knees asking, Lord, for you to show me myself. I'm going to open up your word. I'm going to read from the word. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me and to show me what needs to change in my life. Convict me of that which is not pleasing to you. And when you do this, if you do this, if you're serious about doing this, take yourself a notebook, a pen or pencil, get before God and listen for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and then write down what he's telling you. Write it down. I mean, this is not for people who are just playing with God. Amen? We're getting down to some serious business here. If you really want to change, it's not going to happen just because you want to. You need to get before God, find out what God is saying to you, and take it seriously. There are two ways that we need to let God work in our lives. Number one, we need to let the Holy Spirit convict us. Number two, we need to let the Holy Spirit direct us in how we need to change. Understand something. Nothing happens in the spiritual realm by accident. Think about it. When God created the world, do you realize God was working according to a plan? Think about it. He made the world in how many days? How many days? Kids, anybody? Kids, do you know how many days did God make the world? Six. Amen? And then on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. We got some big kids. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Now think about this. He's God, isn't he? If God had wanted to, what could he have done? He could have just gone and everything sprang into existence right then. But what did he do? He spread it out over 6 days and rested on the seventh. He had a plan. So if you want to see positive change take place in your life, you need to get before the Spirit of God, not only ask him to convict you in regard to what needs to change in your life, but the next thing you need to be saying is, Lord, give me a plan. Show me how I can put this thing into practice in my life.